Have you ever wondered if there are any Pharisees still alive today? And I'm not talking about over in Palestine, but I'm talking about in the United States. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered if there are any Pharisees in Ohio? Have you ever wondered if there are any Pharisees in New Lebanon? Have you ever wondered if there are any Pharisees in this congregation? Maybe I'm a Pharisee. Maybe you're a Pharisee. That's what I want us to look at this morning. Before we get into that lesson, I want to join in welcoming everyone that's here this morning. It's so good to see everyone. It's good to get away to visit, but it's good to be back. Where we worshiped last Sunday in Columbus, there were a few people that we knew there, got to know some that there was a connection with them, but that's visiting, and it's good to be back where we work. This is where God has us planted. This is where we have an influence on people. This is where our family is together, and it's good to be back and worship together. So, and as Brother Kent just read in Luke chapter 15, the first three verses, and those are familiar, and they set up the introduction to some parables that Jesus teaches. But notice in verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes complain, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees were condemned more severely by Christ than any other group. And as we have been going through the Gospel of Matthew, I just went and did a verse study on how many times Pharisee is in the Gospel of Matthew. And I came up with 29 times that Jesus points out the Pharisees. And then chapter 23 is a well-known chapter in Matthew, the woe chapter, where Christ says woe unto you 7 times, where he's calling out the Pharisees for actions that they are doing. In Matthew 23:33, he says, "Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" I do not know anyone that would try to defend a Pharisee today. Yet the Pharisees were not conscious of their spiritual condition. We may have the same spiritual condition and not be conscious that we have it. When you think back to the Sermon on the Mount, when we studied that, and in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, a key verse of that sermon, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, the Pharisees were the ones who rejected many of the teachings of our Lord. So I want us to look at some of the characteristics of the Pharisees. And one of the first things I want us to consider is that the Pharisees were critical of Christ. We've seen that over and over in Matthew. In Luke chapter 15, we see that they were criticizing Christ for receiving sinners. Luke records many instances also. The Pharisees were critical of Christ's actions and teachings. They were critical of it. How about us today? Are we critical of what Christ teaches? Are there some things that we will accept and other things that we don't want to have anything to do with what we say? We may not come out and outrightly criticize him, but we are criticizing him by not following what he tells us to do. Do we criticize Christ by what he taught about putting the kingdom first? If we do not put the kingdom first in our life, we are in effect criticizing Christ. Well, in the second place, The Pharisees were not interested in the lost. Here in Luke 15, they were shocked that the Lord preferred the company of sinners instead of the company of them, the righteous Pharisees. Could this be true with us today? Would Christ, if he came here, would he pass by some of us to go to the sinners and spend time with them? In Luke 15, these parables teach that a more active interest is placed in something when it becomes lost. You just stop and think about this. This lost coin in verse 8. This woman has 10 silver coins. If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. She's interested in that one lost coin. The parable of the lost sheep. He has, what man having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? He's got 99 sheep and one is lost. The emphasis is on that one that is lost. The parable of the lost son. This man has 2 sons. The emphasis is on the one that is lost. Friends, do we put our emphasis on the ones that are lost? Do we do that? You know, the when you look at the parable of the prodigal son, you see an attitude that the elder brother had that was not right. The attitude of both of them was not right. And the elder brother, what he was doing, it was, to him, he was serving the Father, but it was a burden and not a joy. And the Pharisees served God, but to them it was a burden and not a joy. The only joy that they got was by placing more burdens on others. Is this the way that we serve God? How concerned are we for the lost? We got to ask ourselves, we got to be honest. Do we love the lost? Do we love them? You know, we're talking about having a gospel meeting coming up. Who's it for? It's for the lost souls in this community. Do we love the lost? Do you love the lost like Jesus loved the lost? Do you love less than Jesus loved? Do you love them in the way that he loves? Do you love who he loves? You just stop and think about that. We can say, oh, we love everybody. We can say that. Do we mean that? Do we love the unlovely? Do we love that rude store clerk? Do we love him? Do we love the unkind friend? Someone we thought we were best friends with and they treat us in a way that's not right. Do we love that person? Do we love the homeless man on the corner? Do we love the lonely? Do we love our enemy? If we don't love the lost, we need to be honest with ourselves, because the Pharisees did not love the lost. They didn't love them. In addition to that, another thing that made the Pharisees someone that Jesus would condemn, they did not recognize the need of forgiveness. You know, the elder brother in Luke 15, he was angry and murmuring and complaining, yet he saw nothing wrong with his own life. He thought, my life is fine. Look at my brother that went out and wasted everything that the Father gave him. We see sometimes the sins in other people and we think, oh, look at that person. They need to repent. They need to change their life. But do we look in the mirror at our own life and say, I need to change. I need to change the way that I am living. I need to do more for Christ. how do we feel about forgiveness? And remember, too, if we are not willing to forgive others, our Heavenly Father is not willing to forgive us. Something else that can make us a Pharisee: the Pharisees were formal and ritualistic. I wouldn't say that we are that way, but I say there's a danger we can go that way. And that is one of the reasons I wanted to do the study on the Psalms. And when you go through the Psalms, you cannot help but see how David and the Israelites, they would just open up their heart and pour it out to God in songs, in praise, in prayer. And why would they do that? Because they recognize that God is worthy of that. He is worthy of that, and we are so unworthy. And God has made it possible that we can be His children. But the Pharisees, they weren't interested in that. They were just very ritualistic. Matthew 23:14, "For ye devour widows' houses for a pretense, and for a pretense make long prayers." You see the hypocrisy there. They would go out, stand on the street corner and say a long prayer. And then what would they do? They would turn around and foreclose on some poor widow. And the prayers that the Pharisees had no meaning. They were just vain repetitions. They were not from the heart. And you stop and think about this condemnation that Jesus makes on them in Matthew 23. "For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers." I wonder if the Pharisees prayed for those widows. Did they pray for those widows, or did they just turn around and make their long prayers for show and then turn around and rob them? Sometimes we apply Proverbs 23:9 to the alien sinner, but what about us? Proverbs 23:9 says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." Do we pray for one thing and then work in the opposite direction? If we do, we're a Pharisee. We're a Pharisee. When we pray for something, our thoughts, our words, our actions have to be consistent. Do you pray for the widows, the orphans, the homeless, and then leave them to starve to death? You know, one of the things that I appreciate here is Bob usually prays for those three in all of his prayers. He prays for them. We all need to be praying for them. We think about the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. Do you go to worship and then walk by on the other side when something needs to be done? If we do, we're a Pharisee. And it's so easy to get caught up in doing things that we don't have time to help somebody. And maybe that person out on the street corner, maybe they are a fake. Maybe they are pulling a scam. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Maybe we shouldn't trust them. We have other opportunities to help people. We have opportunities here, and we have a brother that's been visiting with us. We have ample opportunity to help him, even with simple things. And you see, when I asked you if you wanted us to put something on the prayer list, I said we'll pray for you. And he's got a new job. We need to keep praying he gets a better job. He's got to get a ride to go an hour and a half up to Lima for the job that he's working now. We can help people. Maybe there aren't people out there. And as Brother Code said this morning, you know, we are so blessed. We have so much, we don't even know what we have in our closets. We don't even know what we have in our pantries. We don't even know what we have in our house. And somebody needs this or that. And what do we do? we put on our Pharisee hat and we make excuses and we become critical. And no, I'm busy serving the Lord. Sorry, don't have time to help you. Friends, we need to learn the lesson that Jesus is teaching these. The Pharisees did things for show. So that's something else we have to watch out. We have somebody to help, something to do. We do it because it's the right thing to do, not because we want to do it for show. In Matthew 23:5, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. And that would let people know that, hey, I'm religious. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Well, why do I serve God anyway? Do I do it to be seen of men? And again, as we studied back in the earlier section of Matthew, if we do it to be seen of men, that will be our reward. We'll have it right here, right now. But it will rob God of His glory, and it will rob us of a reward from God. We don't do things to be seen by men. You see, some people, though, they don't get recognition. They feel slighted. Some people, well, if they don't do this for me, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We see that in the workplace, in groups and organizations. Sometimes we see it in the church. Who did Jesus say was going to be the greatest in the kingdom? That person is the biggest, flashiest person up there? No, it's the one that serves. Humble service. Humble service to get recognition? No, we don't serve to get recognition. We will on the day of judgment. God will recognize it. But again, if we're doing it for the wrong motive, we're a Pharisee. We're a Pharisee. We need to be honest with ourselves. Also, think about this. The Pharisees were long on talk and short on doing. What's that phrase that Jesus would repeat often? They say and do not. It reminds me of the politicians. You turn on the TV and you hear all the politicians saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. You vote them in. They say and they do not. Matthew 23 again, verse 3. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. You know, something else with the Pharisees, or maybe someone today, we can find 100 things that this church needs to be doing. If I gave you a sheet of paper and I said, write down 2 dozen things that this church needs to be doing. And then I said, okay, who's going to do those? Who's going to do these? Probably a bunch of them would be handed to me. We need, when we're looking for things to do, what can I do? What can I do? I'm going to be judged for what I do, not for what somebody else does. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees could find all kinds of things that other people should be doing. And they say and they do not. They wouldn't do what they should be doing. Do I talk about what the church ought to be doing or not doing? Or do we talk about what I should be doing? We say that we follow the Bible. Does our practice, does our walk match our talk? Does it follow it on helping the needy, on teaching the lost, on hospitality? Again, the Pharisees, I'm sure, if there is one and he was going to be a guest speaker here, he could get up and give a really good lesson on something. The problem is he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. So we don't want to be like a Pharisee. and come up with a really good lesson on what we need to be doing and then not do it. Well, another situation with the Pharisees, they were bound by tradition and custom. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Matthew 15:2. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. The Pharisees would get on people about the traditions. Why aren't they keeping the traditions? And notice this in Matthew 15:2. They weren't talking about the law, but the tradition of the elders, some tradition that was man-made, and they were binding the tradition of man as law. The custom of men is law. Are we bound by custom? If we change the order of worship, is someone going to be able to adjust to that? It's just a custom. It's just a tradition. Some say we can't do this. We must do that. A lot of the things that we do are just because we have done them the way for so long. Why do we meet at 9:30 on Sunday morning? Is that a commandment? No, it's a tradition. There, we've got to recognize what are laws and what are traditions, and then we've got to recognize if something's a tradition, we cannot bind that on somebody else. And if you've been in the church any amount of time, or if you've worked in any kind of organization or at work, you go to a new job and you start doing something, and one of the things you'll hear is, oh, we don't do that that way here. We've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. Well, why did you always do it that way? I don't know. We've just always done it this way. The Pharisees were bound by tradition and custom. The Pharisees majored on minors. In Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So what are mint and anise and cumin? Well, these are herbs that have very small seeds, and he's saying you pay a tenth of some of the smallest things that are out there, and then the weightier things, the matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. They neglected the really important things, the major things, they neglected. The minor things, they enforced. They were on people for that very severely. Are we obligated to obey all of God's law or part of it? We know we've got to obey all of God's law. Well, which part do we obey? All of it. All of it. And we've got to do it in such a way that we don't do one part and then omit another part. Along with this, in Matthew 23 and verse 24, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. This gives you another word picture of something to think about. You strain out a gnat, something that's really small. And he's talking in an absurdity. Say you had a container and you were drinking something, and there is a little gnat in there. You'd want to take that little gnat out, and then you can't even fit a camel in there, but you have this camel, and he says, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. It's just absurd, the arguments that people will make about some things. And again, I've heard illustrations used like somebody would object to a cross or a cross on a building or in a building. They objected to it, but there might be a cross on the Lord's table or on the containers, or you might be having a sermon and put a cross up there, but no, we can't have a cross. It's just something that's lopsided. I heard a preacher talk about a woman. She didn't believe you could use man-written material for a Bible class, uninspired literature for a Bible class. So this woman wrote this man a letter to teach him that you cannot use uninspired literature to teach. It just sounds absurd. And that's the way the Pharisees were. The Pharisees hunted for things to criticize. The scribes and Pharisees watched him. They would watch him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath day or he would ask them a question. They were always looking to try to trap him. Do we look for things to criticize? Some people, and again, the Pharisees may not have been conscious of some of these things that they were doing. Some people, and we all know people like this, some people will criticize everything. And by them criticizing everything, what does that do? That gives them an out for not doing anything. Because you aren't going to go over to this person and say, hey, you ought to be doing this. Because they're just going to jump all over you. That's what the Pharisees would do. Friend, it takes a lot of work from everybody to make this congregation the kind of congregation that God wants it to be. Am I saying we have Pharisees? I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, as we are going through the Gospel of Matthew and looking at these Pharisees, the place we need to start making application, I need to start making application with myself. Everybody here needs to start making application with yourself, because it's too easy to read through the Bible and we point, yeah, look back there 2,000 years ago, those people, they didn't know what they were doing. Look how they missed it. And we have the complete revelation today of how we can please God. Friends, are you a Pharisee today? The New Testament isn't the only place that Pharisees existed. They thought that they were religious, but Jesus condemned them. And again, remember, Jesus told them and us, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom. One of the problems the Pharisees had, a lot of people had, their heart was far away from God. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. They're here. It's the first day of the week. They're here in a worship assembly. And where is their heart? It's far away. It's far away in a distant land. It's far away out in the world. And friends, we've got to recognize, this is something the Pharisees didn't recognize. Our hearts are holy. Our heart is holy ground. Our heart is sanctified. It's set apart. For what? For God to dwell here. For God to come in. We are the temple of God. Are we worthy of that? We are not worthy. We are not worthy at all. We have all sinned in so many ways. And what do we deserve? The wages of sin is death. We deserve from our actions eternal separation from God. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. That's what they are going to receive. Even though they were religious people, again, our heart can, if our heart isn't in tune with God, we're going to be separated from Him. And God wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And we can do that. And the Word can help us do that. And brothers and sisters can help us do that. And we can do that for the short time that we are here on this earth. And then we can receive our reward on Judgment Day from our Heavenly Father. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning and your life is not right, please make it right. Don't play with your soul's eternity. Don't take the chance. Make it right this morning. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.